Hello, and welcome to the Charity Times Leadership Podcast, where we speak to leaders from across the sector about trends, challenges, and success stories. My name is Lauren Weymouth. I'm the editor of Charity Times, and I'll be bringing you a series of charity leadership podcasts designed to inspire you as you navigate your way through the year ahead. After an extremely digital couple of years, charities have been forced to adopt new technologies at a rapid pace. For many charities, surviving the pandemic has meant undergoing a fast and efficient digital transformation simply to exist in a remote world. But what effects has this had on fundraising? And what lessons can charities learn from each other? Joining me to discuss this topic today are experts from software provider Advanced. I'll be speaking to Ed Harrison, account manager, and James Whitney, head of accounts and memberships, about digital transformations. Ed's got some unique experience within the not-for-profit sector, having previously held roles working for a professional engineering institution where he supported member development and engagement. He's now translating his experience and supporting new and existing Advanced customers to solve their challenges within membership and charity engagement and to develop through their digital transformation journey. Meanwhile, James has over 20 years experience in overseeing project implementations and 10 years specifically focused on the not-for-profit sector. He's a sponsor for a large number of Advanced current relationships, including RNLI, RSPB, and the WWF. Welcome both.
Thank you. Thanks for having us along.
It's really great to be able to talk to you today. Obviously, as you know, since the pandemic first began, charities have had to adopt technology at a rate that was probably much quicker than they ever could have imagined. So it's been a really busy couple of years, and I'm sure that that's something that you've seen firsthand yourselves. James, just to kick off our discussion, how are your charity clients embracing digital transformations currently? And what kind of shift did you see during the pandemic compared to, say, the last decade?
Yeah, thanks very much for the question, Lauren. Yeah, clearly there's been a shift of focus towards ever greater adoption of cloud-based technologies in that time and the embracement of digital transformation even further. It's always been a thing, I think, but very much so there's been an acceleration of the requirement for digital transformation. And we've got some supporting evidence, for example, in Advanced 2020 to 2021 annual trends survey, which is a thought leadership and customer poll publication that we run every year. 77% of respondents who are our customers say that one of the legacies of the pandemic has been that it has greatly increased the pace of digital transformation. And if we look at other well-known commentators in the marketplace, it tallies with what thought leadership pieces that have been written by the likes of Deloitte and Gartner and others say. And if we look at the McKinsey Global Survey on Digital Strategy, this cites that due to the pandemic, organisations across the board, whether they're NFP or commercial, etc., have accelerated their execution plans around digital transformation by anything from 3 to 7 years. And that happened in a matter of a very few small months towards the beginning of the pandemic.
It's staggering, isn't it, to think about how quickly charities had to adapt, particularly as it came so suddenly. There was no preparation involved. All of a sudden, charities just had to adapt so quickly. So it's really interesting to hear that. Ed, what kind of effect has digital had on fundraising for the charities that you work with?
So I think that the pandemic has been a driving factor in terms of how charities have been able to fundraise. And I think that's primarily due to the introduction of restrictions. One of the early adopters of our cloud-based fundraising solution, Cloud Engage, purchased our system just before the pandemic, primarily to run an array of face-to-face events. But as soon as restrictions were put into place to try and control the pandemic, the focus of the charities shifted substantially away from doing face-to-face and physical events, which clearly they could no longer run. And this led to charities adopting a digital-first approach to cement and build their relationships with their major donors. Another effect has been that charities have had to quickly prioritize their use of social media and build effective campaigns using these platforms instead. I think it's probably fair to say that prior to the pandemic, it was our experience that all too often charities had a general feeling that social media was important, but they didn't particularly have a strong grasp of how to utilize these tools effectively. So I think my collective view really is that the charities that have most successfully ridden the storm of the pandemic are the ones that have embraced social media and digital transformation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of charities have really risen to the occasion. Some of the digital fundraising campaigns that I've seen and that we've reported on have been really excellent. So actually, it has been really nice to see. How are charities actually resourcing digital transformation, particularly small charities? How are they coping with such small teams?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think smaller charities should really increasingly rely upon experts within various fields. Of course, I'm thinking advanced, but also other specialists within different fields. For example, using social media experts, web design organizations, artificial consultants, machine learning providers, that sort of thing. Experts within fields can give a great steer to smaller charities in terms of how to adopt the right approach, really. The charity sector is also blessed with a number of highly effective charity-specific consultancies who can actually help smaller charities navigate through the potentially risky and expensive minefield of digital transformation.
On the subject of small charities, how do you think that those smaller charities can learn from large charities when it comes to adopting digital, particularly with regards to fundraising?
It's about delivering a strong and compelling message to a selected target audience, in my view. I think going into that in a bit more depth, larger charities have really had to refine their contact community over the last 4 years or so, which has primarily been driven by GDPR and other factors. Digital technology is really able to help with delivering effective communications to target audiences. And this is through the use of tools like automation, which has meant that fundraising for larger charities has become a lot more laser focused in its execution. The really exciting thing is these digital tools are now there to deliver that focus for a campaign. And this can be run by the smaller charity as well. And this is going to be delivered at a price point that is more cost effective.
I mean, over the past couple of years, particularly since the pandemic began, we started to see this increase in digital roles within the sector, job titles including Head of Digital Transformation, Digital Transformation Director, these kind of roles that are relatively new to the sector. And what do you think that these roles show us about the pace at which charities are undergoing change digitally? And how does it also compare with the corporate sector?
Yeah, thanks, Lauren. James here again. Yeah, I really found that digital transformation and the delivery of IT systems used to be the purview of the IT teams, our charity users. But increasingly, especially for the larger charity, the digital transformation programme is becoming the responsibility of a specific directorate. And I think that's been driven again by the pandemic and the real importance of digital transformation. It is much about building out a strategic plan spanning multiple years as it is in executing that plan. And so really the focus is needed from a specific directorate or individual within an organisation. But perhaps whilst a smaller charity may not have the resource scope to have a specific directorate dedicated to digital transformation, it's really essential, I think, that an officer within the organisation is given the responsibility for that digital transformation direction and execution. Increasingly, we are seeing the smaller charity attract trustees, for example, or volunteers who have long and successful careers in IT take on this role.
Yeah, you're right, actually. There's definitely been a shift in terms of people coming over from the corporate sector, which has actually been quite nice to see. I suppose a lot of the time we don't speak about exactly what goes on in the back office. And so in terms of your clients in particular, those that are managing digital transformation, how are they doing that in the back office?
Yeah, it's really interesting because I think that if you're a fundraising charity or a membership organisation, you're really core focus is how do I reach out to my supporters? And the critical system, therefore, for implementation and ensuring that it works effectively is a CRM solution combined with website and social media to reach out to the supplier base most effectively. But actually, no less important, really, are the back office solutions that underpin that and support the day-to-day running of the NFP organisation, including financial accountancy software and HR systems, amongst others, which Advance just so happens to provide, of course. Digital transformation includes better integration and automation technologies as part of that overall stack. And what these functions and applications can do is help streamline back office processes. A specific example being helping with any finance processes around donations, direct debits, invoicing for events and merchandise, for example. And also something that's very close to our heart, which is gift aid submissions. On that last point, Advance are really proud to have provided our charity users completely free of charge with our gift aid submission portal that since its inception 5.5 years ago has helped our charity users claim gift aid on in excess of £2 billion worth of donations. And really that's been seen as providing a critical income stream for our charity users.
Yeah, that's fantastic, particularly at a time like the present. You know, charities have struggled to generate enough income for some time now. So things like that really, really do help. So I'm sure it is much appreciated. On the subject of you guys as an organisation, what lessons have you learned during the pandemic? And also, how did you execute remote working when you had to make that transition?
Yeah, I think firstly, the big thing that we learned was that we needed to really accelerate our programme of delivering cloud solutions. We've had cloud solutions around for a number of years now, but we really wanted to consolidate all of them into one shared platform. And we're well on the road to doing that. And Cloud Engage is an example of them, our fundraising CRM, but Cloud Financials as well. And in other sectors too, we've been able to do that. We were proud to be able to support our health and care clients, so GPs, surgeries and NHS trusts, etc., in the move to digital themselves. And so in terms of our delivery of software and services, we've really been proud to be able to help a number of different sectors throughout this very difficult period. I suppose from a company perspective, Advance was actually fairly well positioned in respect of the move to remote working. We already had a model for a significant number of teams, including my account management teams who report into me, which already supported remote and field working. However, we did need to make some serious investment and execute a transformation program of our own technologically, not least of which was investing in hardware. and as computer chips and things have become more scarce over time, that's been more expensive, but we made that investment. And we were able to move about three times as many of our staff of over 2,000 people globally to remote working. And so we now have the option to provide about 95% coverage of staff working remotely from home. And as the different restrictions flex around, as they're doing at the moment, we still have that capability.
It's certainly a worthwhile investment, isn't it, when you think about the capabilities and flexibilities that you have now moving forward?
Definitely, I think so, absolutely. And as I say, we're hoping that we're going to be coming out of these restrictions fairly soon, particularly after this winter passes and the jab programme and so on. But absolutely, we've invested for that in the future. And I think a lot of organisations have done that as well. And it includes other things like software upgrades. One of the examples, without wanting to plug Microsoft too much, was that we moved from Skype to Teams. And Teams is a fantastic collaboration tool, and it delivers much more richness of functionality than Skype ever did around sharing of information and documentation and all of those sorts of things. And I think the final point that I want to mention is that really the effects of lockdown and isolation also quickly became a hot topic at Advanced. And I suppose dovetailed into Advanced environmental, social and governance policy. And a hugely important stream of that was employee wellness. So what our HR department did was a monumental piece of work, actually, to provide our employees with multiple resources to assist them with managing the stress of the pandemic and the lockdown and remote working, and really helped them to become accustomed to the different working patterns. This resulted in further wellness initiatives being implemented, the chief of which was Advanced Summer Fridays, where each employee was provided with Friday afternoons off in July and August this year in order to maximise their well-being. It was such a huge success that we're doing it again next summer, I'm pleased to say. Clearly, we need to make sure that our clients' needs are covered in that time period, but we did that very successfully over the summer.
That sounds fantastic. I think the Summer Fridays should become a nationwide thing. I think we could all benefit from Fridays off in the summer. And surely it does help productivity throughout the rest of the week, knowing that Friday afternoon is the cutoff point as well. But it's really great to see that you've been prioritising well-being. That's obviously something that's been needed across multiple sectors, not just the charity sector. It's been really important. So that's great to hear. James, do you think the sector is where it needs to be digitally now, or do you think that there is still more work to be done?
I think there's always more to be done, Lauren. We'll never reach the end of the digital transformation programme. And I think partially the reason for that will be that the technology is evolving continuously. But the pandemic and remote working has really galvanised the sector into very importantly understanding what digital transformation is, and the importance of it, and what a plan would look like and how to execute that plan. And really, the majority of organisations that we work with now are actually well on the way into the start of their journey of digital transformation. And so the future is looking really promising, I think, for the sector.
Yeah, that's great. It is super exciting, really, for the sector. It's amazing to see how much we've progressed, really, in just such a short space of time. Thank you both so much for joining us today. I'm sure this is a topic that we could continue talking about for some time. So I really appreciate you having you both here.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thanks, guys. If you've got any questions about the discussion that we've had today, please drop me an email at lauren.weymouth@charitytimes.com. Special thanks go to the sponsors of this podcast, Advanced. For more information on the services they provide, please visit www.oneadvanced.com.